Oh, perhaps project update for...
I have a friend, would you mind talking about it?
This year's Brooklyn Sewer and Water project is nearing an end for this year. In about a week, the water, the sanitary sewer, and the forest main will have been installed on Shore Road just past the bottom of Marfland Avenue. Now recall this year that our phase started a little bit later than we would have liked, and I think it was August, I think, when we started, which is kind of late to start a capital project like that. And it's because of funding consideration. We were waiting for some infrastructure funding that, in fact, never came. So we started it using our gas tax. Compounding this schedule, this problem in the schedule, not surprising, but it was a little bit at the same time with some of the bedrock that we encountered. We, in fact, thought we'd get into some bedrock in around where the churches are, where that knoll of the hill is. That wasn't that bad, but where we found it quite a bit worse, and in some areas right to the top, the asphalt was, say, from the churches to Marklin. All right, so that was a bit of a surprise. We didn't think we'd have bedrock as much as we had right there. So we're still removing that. They had a small equipment breakdown today, so we didn't get any rock removed today, but looks like the crew's telling us it'll be this week we'll have the pipes in the ground. And then starting next week, we'll be underway with the road base preparation, which will lead to asphalt pave in early November.
Thank you. Any questions? Susan, do you have a question since your district?
Brad, with the election coming up and the St. Andrew's Church Hall is the location for the polls, will that be accessible?
We'll make it so.
Okay.
Yep. Depends how you vote whether you're letting through. Councilor Waterman?
It's a big rock, it's hard.
There's areas, Peter, Councilor Waterman. There's sections of it, the top few feet are relatively easy to break through, and then they will encounter very hard, dense, mineralized rock.
The bedrock in around this area is probably the hardest in Canada, from what I hear. The other contractors used to run over DOT, they charge $100 an inch on their ground, where they pan, because it wears out. You would think steel would wear out.
Oh yeah, those bits are a little over $5,000 a piece, right? They don't last long.
Susan?
You never know what lies beneath, do you, Brad?
No diamonds.
Well, in Queens County.
Just a comment. I had some really good comments from residents down there. They really appreciate the cooperation of the staff when they had events happening down that area. And very, very pleased. I know the guys have been treated to some treats from some of the residents, the lady living at the bottom of the hill, always giving cookies and snacks and that sort of thing to the guys. But really, in all seriousness, they really appreciate the cooperation, because it is a little busy area down there with the church activity and things going on in the spring, summer, and fall. So just wanted to pass that on to you. Once that system gets completed, then your plans over the next couple of years is to go up Markland and then down through. And the pumping station location is a little bit iffy at the moment.
The negotiations are underway. The location of the pump station has to be where it has to be, right?
Yep. Yeah. But that'll all work out.
Just while we're talking about projects, the Milton Bridge is coming along, and we've negotiated our way through with
TIS. That's still underway. Okay. I mean, I'm still talking to them, believe it or not. These number of months later, they were here on council, if you recall, several months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to see it Tuesday being today.
Yeah. Oh, well.
However, the contract has been awarded. I mean, that's a fact. Dexter Construction was awarded by the province. They're getting ready to mobilize and move in, and hopefully we can have our negotiations done so we can all work together to get this done.
Great. And the Masonic Lodge has been flattened yesterday, I think, and it's...
Well, that would have been my Dexter's, because I was in their contract.
Yeah. Are you waiting to get in here, Jack?
Yeah, that was part of what I thought what I was going to be asking about, because I see they even dug the hole on the one side there for the embutment, I take it those big orange units are part of the abutments that will be going in. Now we're going to have to relocate the electrical panel, right? So is that something that's going to make any delay or anything in septic, everything?
No, that'll work out fairly well. We'll relocate the electrical panel and the valve chamber, switch it over. We'll still use the force main on the old bridge.
Okay.
The old bridge will stay in place until next spring before that's removed. That'll allow time for the new bridge to be constructed, new force main to be installed, and then it'll be a matter of a fairly, relatively, I shall say, quick and simple changeover of fittings so that the sewage will be pumped on the new force main outside the asphalt of the traveling right way. So the scheduling will work out pretty well there.
Just one comment about driving through Milton now with those buildings gone. Seeing the view of the falls is amazing when you drive up to that number 8 highway. So I think it may be an attraction after a while, after all this is done. It's very beautiful scene when you drive through Milton.
And remember, of course, that there's going to be a much wider bridge in there.
That's right.
I must say, as I go across the Botanic Bridge, the second
bridge, I worry about that bridge.
I don't worry. Its life expectancy is, I'm sure, short. It's a provincial matter, but I suspect you will soon have one bridge in Milton.
That's
in
right.
Foreseeable future.
I hope not.
You will.
I will.
I think
it's inevitable. Anything else on this? Any other questions for Brad? If not, Brad, thanks a lot. Thank you, Peter. Okay, now before we get to finance, Bruce, do you have anything under finance?
Nothing under finance.
Okay, before we get into item 12.1, let me say a few words, if I may. This item was put on the agenda by Councillor Prelick at the last meeting, where he advised us he wanted it on the agenda. So we're doing two or three things. First of all, I've asked Richard to make a presentation to bring us up to date and remind us of the key issues that we were faced with as we discussed this earlier this year. So we'll start off with this brief presentation by Richard. Then I'd ask Council's indulgence, because Councillor Frelick has put this item on the agenda, so I'd ask Council's indulgence to have a discussion before he brings forward whatever motion he's going to bring forward, because normally we don't have a discussion without a motion, so I'm hoping that Council will give a few minutes without the motion, and then we'll ask whatever motion Councillor Phillip wants to bring forward, and then we can continue the discussion on that basis, if that's agreeable with everybody. Is that okay?
Are we getting a copy of this report?
You're going to get it up here. It's just a review of facts, isn't it? I say it's going to be up here. I think that we...
Restart the computer?
Yeah, I restart it.
I'm a pro.
That's what I do. Doesn't work. Restart.
Yeah.
Then you swear. Then you don't
restart button.
You're not giving it a signal.
Our good friend John Murray used to throw technology when it upset him.
He did it, did he? He screwed it up?
No, he didn't screw this up, but in his office he used to throw it if it became offensive to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not of his wife knew about it.
No, well, not as much smarter than John Texas.
Yeah, that's scripted.
You need to call in reinforcements?
And I got my first phone call and thought, how do I answer it?
Didn't lose your phone for me. I went to fix it before. How do I answer it?
Darlene, I haven't been down there. I haven't been down since
it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
My kid has never been.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
But I love the Corbettan side.
second.
I can't get in
there.
Port Jolly, a little Port Jolly.
That beautiful beach. Well, and that was that. I mean, to go down and just look at that beach and you'd be the only person on it.
Yeah, you still would be.
It's gone green, if that's a good sign.
Well, it might be.
Can we take just a few minutes?
Yeah.
Take 5 minutes.
Yeah. 5 minute break. Good. We got a 5 minute stretch.
We may just have to restart this.
Did Jennifer's football team win their game? You know, did you go to?
Was that your Patriots won for
Patriots. And I don't know football to me, as I've seen two football games in my life.
I was with a bunch of New Englanders on the weekend, and they suddenly went rooting for Dallas.
Yeah.
Was it a close game, do we know?
Oh, no.
No.
Or you have either a job or it's something you do. He loves
it. Yeah. Did you play football or
just coach? Yeah. Played at Mount Allison for a couple of years as a coach.
Okay. Deputy Mayor will be back momentarily, I'm sure. I apologize for that brief hiatus. The floor is yours.
Deputy Mayor, okay, good morning. I'm pleased to provide a very brief presentation overviewing the current status regarding the Trestle Trail Bridge. In 1996, the region became owners of the bridge and shortly thereafter made some basic modifications to convert the railway bridge into a pedestrian bridge. While usage counts are not available, based on mapping, there's a conceptual catchment area of about 200 dwellings within a half kilometer of the bridge. There's been three engineering studies done on the bridge since the municipality became owners. Early days told us to monitor. In 2014, the engineering studies found accelerated deterioration. Here's Pier 1, severe deterioration. Important to note that when looking at these photos that there's a pretty clear risk that these are disintegrating. Pier 4, normally when a structural engineer does an inspection, they use a putty knife or a screwdriver. It's pretty remarkable that using an oar was an instrument on this to give us some perspective. Here's the west wing wall on the north abutment and the south abutment. Up top looks good, but you can see down below there's nothing left. So also for clarity, aside from the visual inspection, there was materials inspection done to inform the engineering recommendations, which we received back in February, March, that the severe deterioration at the south abutment, piers 1 and 4, must be repaired immediately to prevent further deterioration. Remaining repairs at the other concrete supports must be completed as soon as possible to prevent further deterioration. Pedestrians and all types of vehicles must be immediately prevented from using the bridge until further detailed studies and analysis have been completed and after any resulting recommendations have been addressed. This recommended restriction to the use of the bridge is based solely on the observations made by AMEC and will need to remain in place until detailed investigation and engineering analysis has been completed. Complete a detailed survey over the full height and structural analysis of each pier and abutment to determine the extent of the sound concrete and its structural capacity, complete an analysis of the bridge based on its intended use to determine loads on each support and evaluate those results as compared to those in number three, and complete a structural condition assessment of the steel. So at February 24, the direction from council was to postpone any further action on the study. The following month, several councillors announced having a community meeting to discuss alternatives as well as funding. So on April 30th, a meeting was held, facilitated by Performance Synergy Group, and group work formed around three themes: exploring alternative routes, questioning the engineering study, and better understanding the repair versus removal decision. Under alternative routes, we have a map here later on that, and we also have later in the agenda proposal to do a Pine Grove connection. There's a lot of potential trail projects we can do in Queens. A very rough rule of thumb for trails projects is about $100 a meter. So for instance, here's a trail active transportation map our team had made up. Shows the catchment area, about 200 homes within a half kilometer on the Milton side. The additional 1 kilometer diversion through Main Street creates, and the potential Pine Grove connections. So council has the authority to review AMEX work. Staff do not have a clear reason to recommend this review. While the report was disappointing, the methodology and expertise used to develop the original report is sound, and the photographs are pretty clear evidence of risk. So we did speak with another firm to gauge this, and they didn't see a possibility of an alternative finding. The structure is clearly disintegrating. So finally, better to understand the repair versus removal decision, which is a good question. So we don't have enough data to inform or make a recommendation to council on this decision. So ultimately, even though with some time, council will have two paths to consider with respect to the bridge and achievement of your goals around recreation and movement. So path one is to continue engineering study and design get through a process that will result in fixing the bridge, or path two is to deconstruct the bridge and look at other means to achieve our recreational and active transportation goals. While the deconstruction is not an immediate concern, it is a liability that we will have and become a further blight and public safety issues. Demolition would be complex, and we're unable to estimate the cost. So as the community committee identified, there are a lot of gaps in the data we have. We don't know whether taking down the bridge is a $100,000 or $500,000 liability. We don't know after getting our as-builts done whether we're talking $100,000 or $500,000 to repair. We don't really know the value of the asset. I assume that building a new bridge for a train, it's, you know, a multi-million dollar project, but we're not moving trains. We don't really understand the usage or potential usage. We don't know if the cost of fixing the bridge is just a bit more than removing it, or if there's a huge cost spread. Either direction council ultimately takes will have financial impact and cost to the taxpayer. We do know we have directional policy around active transportation and recreation. So in order for staff to provide a recommendation on either path, we do need more information. And that's just the basic summary of where we are with the Trestle Trail Bridge.
Thank you. Discussion. Deputy Mayor Norman.
So we need to determine the cost spread between removing or repairing. And there's probably a price tag attached to determining the cost spread.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it doesn't have to be immediate, but it can't sit there for 10 years or whatever without, so someone has to start making some decisions. So to Richard, how do you determine the cost spread? Like, how do we know how much without hiring companies to do the studies to then find out how much it's going to cost to repair? you know, and then trying to figure out how much it would cost to remove, how do we find out what that, how do we deal with that? Because that's the first thing you have to deal with is...
Absolutely, and that's a complex question, and it's not numbers that we would have experience or data that we could pull out on. So we would need to engage consultants and engineers and subject matter experts to help provide us some advice on both those paths, or either path, to provide something.
And I had always thought that, and maybe the bridge is too big, but I always thought, or is there, when you speak of repair, is there a way that an engineering firm could look at that and figure out a way to take the weight load off of the piers and do a weight load, like just put a new type of structure underneath it as a weight load? Like, we focus on the piers, but maybe is there a way for an engineering company to just look at it and say, but you know what, you could change the weight load and take it off the piers by putting a different type of support system underneath.
Yeah, again, and that's where you need to know what you have. We don't know what we have with the piers. We don't know what we have with the structure, so there's a lot of questions.
Richard, would you like to move back up here?
Sure. So design firms or engineering firms wouldn't be able to advise us on that without knowing what we have in terms of, you know, we see the deterioration on the piers right now. That's visual. We know from some material inspection that there's good and bad things, but there's a lot of questions left. So it's difficult for, and Brad can hop in here to get more technical than I can, but without getting into some engineering analysis, you can't design fix.
Councilor McLeod.
Richard, is it possible, we all know that it is deteriorating. We all know this current situation with it. The bridge is mainly used for pedestrian traffic, mm-hmm. which does not incur a lot of weight. Is it possible to have an analysis done on the weight capacity from pedestrians? Because it never be used for vehicle traffic, ever.
Yeah. And the issue is not so much the live loading, but the loading of the bridge itself.
The bridge itself.
Yeah.
Structural analysis,
yes.
Like the whole structural analysis of
yeah.
it and the metal.
The people on it are generally irrelevant or close to irrelevant to that design question. You know,
there has to be a way. I mean, it just seems ridiculous for most of us, all of the community, to say, I mean, if people walking across it, it's not going to fall. I mean, isn't there something we can do to kind of...
What we can see
that?
In the visuals is that there's risk of those piers failing, and if those piers fail, then the unit will crumble, and you know the visual evidence is pretty clear, as well as the materials analysis says the same sort of thing.
Is there somebody else who wants to get in here before I give it to the Deputy Mayor again? Councilor Warman.
If you're looking at all aspects, why don't you look at salvage? There may be a company that would like to have that, you know, for the metal. If I look at all aspects,
I suspect the salvage value and the cost, the cost will far outweigh what salvage value is in that steel. If you're going to demo it, it's going to cost you to demo it. You're not going to demo that for the cost of the steel. No. Because you're considering all the water with... You know, with those number of spans, each one of them is around 65 feet or so, Peter. That's a big job, right? And the access, yeah, the access to the demolition equipment is not insignificant either, right? So it would be a net cost, that's for sure, right?
Councilor Frelick, then Councilor Fancy, then Councilor Fisk, and then Deputy Mayor Norman.
I guess the ultimate solution would be to be able to get the bridge open and have a consecutive plan of how we get it repaired. And I know there's some repair that needs to be done. And I'm not sure where this falls in the repair or the second option. But why can we not go out and get a company to come in and examine how to fix it, put it out to tender. There seems to be a lot of companies that say they can do it without doing a huge engineering report prior to. I think that's the problem that everybody has, is spending that money. But if it goes out to a tender, is there...
So if there's a tender, we would need to have money allocated for that, first of all. But, you know, again, so we've talked to another engineering firm to confirm that the AMEC findings, that it's disintegrating. I mean, it's quite clear that, and the other companies have said that, you know, you need to do some engineering analysis to figure out how your repair would be. So I can't conceive how we could ask someone to fix it without knowing what we have. We don't have as-builts of this. We don't know the original material construction. So
what I don't understand also is, in 2002 we had the report done and they gave us a very clear direction that we should be going. Had we followed that, we wouldn't be having this discussion, because the piers were in jeopardy at that point, but yet we didn't move on that, and that this one is so final. Like, it's once we got the report, it was just shut down that day. So it seems if we had a second opinion and we had somebody to say, yes, it is in jeopardy for sure, but here is a method of repairing it while not losing it. Because when we talk about, you know, digging it out for salvage, or taking what you can for salvage, that gives me the feeling that we're more interested in removing it, demolition, than repairing it. So that's always been a concern, right, from the, our excitement about repairing it has been very, very limited.
Council Fancy.
Again, Brad has brought forward there it's come to an engineering firm that has said that it's unsafe, and you've gone to a second firm that says that they would not dispute the first ones because it's unsafe. So where do we go with this? This is it, and again, to repair, you can't repair until you know what you have. I guess that's the whole thing. So we can't skip that step without getting it to first find out what it is. That's going to cost us. No matter which way we look at it, there's going to be a cost.
And may I ask Brad a question here?
Sure.
That we were given a cost to estimate its problem of $46,500, which did not include... $146,500, which did not include HST. So it's around 160-ish, isn't it?
That's correct, and that would determine it would be a more refined study of the existing conditions of that bridge. It'd be laboratory analysis, it'd be core drills, there would be divers employed, there would be essentially personnel hung from ropes, if you want to call it that, having a very close look at those piers, including some structural of the steel. What it doesn't include is, now what are we going to do to repair it? That would be additional to that. So that's a sort of a level two study to determine what it is. After that, it's what are you going to do with it? Are you going to repair it? Would you demo it? So there's money that would need to be spent in order to bring it to determine the cost of it, or it would be money to be spent the cost of the demolition of it, right? Now, one can conclude that it would be fairly expensive to repair that concrete in a waterworks, and with that live water, given today's environmental standards, it would be fairly costly. That's a reasonable judgment to make without knowing the exact number.
Okay,
So we could be looking at, say, $146,000 to find out what it is. But looking at it as compared to, say, if it's $500,000 to tear the bridge down, maybe the $146,000 is something that you might end up finding it for $200,000, we could repair it. which would still be cheaper than tearing it down. So that may be something that is an option that's looking at. That's what we're.
That's exactly the question that Brad and I have, and we can't answer it without proceeding with the study.
Councilor Fisk.
Mayor Clark, Councilor Fancy answered my question.
You have another question?
He's answered it.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Norman, sorry to keep you waiting, but...
Oh, that's fine. But, you know, and it was just as a follow-up to Councilor McLeod's remark, you know, the community needs to understand, and we need to be saying to the people, it's not the weight of the people. It's the weight of the bridge itself collapsing upon itself. Because so often people will say, well, blah, blah, blah. But it's the weight of the structure itself that, you know, and that's why, you know, I don't want to see it go. I mean, it's a great asset for us. And I also don't want to band-aid it together by not having the thorough examination done, because if we band-aid it and hire a company to come in and just say, fix the bottom of it where it's rotted out, that in how many years' time, when that doesn't work, then we've thrown our good money away. So if we're going to fix it, we need to fix it the right way. But to who we can't recall down there, maybe Ms. Councilor Fancy, we may be surprised that the cost of fixing it is closer to the cost of demolishing it. And if there isn't a big hundreds of thousands of dollars, because either way, we have to do something. It either has to be taken out or it has to be fixed. And if the fix-it price is close to the take-it-out price, then we should put the extra money in the fix-it price. But we need to throw the money, not throw it, but it needs to be put in next year's budget. I mean, I'm not in favor of pulling out money right now out of our reserves and things to move on this. But it, you know, and it's going to be a big cost impact for next year if we put it in there. And, you know, those 150 plans for everybody's bandstands ideas and all that, there's going to have to be some tough decisions when next, you know, I mean, realistically, we have to look at all this stuff, because where I sit in my neck of the woods, people aren't going to want to have 4 cents or whatever on their tax dollars going in Liverpool. So, you know, if we're going to put money on this, then we're going to have to realize that that's the money we're spending in this town. And our other projects that we all would like to see, I'd like to see town hall projects and whatever, then there's going to have to be some giving. We're going to have to give and take if this is what we're spending our money on, because this does mainly benefit people in the Liverpool area. Then that's what the money's going to, in my view, that's what we're spending our money on.
That's right.
And all the other Liverpool projects. Right?
Yes.
Okay, Brad bumps in here first, and then after Brad, it'll be Council Inglis, Council Waterman.
I just want to clarify something, because Council Fancy mentioned something, but it didn't quite go far enough. Recall, this engineering investigation study, it's really a three-part program. First part was the initial part, which we got a report, and we've had recommendations, and those recommendations in terms of removing the foot traffic on the bridge was followed through. The rest of the recommendations basically lead you to the second part of that study program, and that is to do more comprehensive testing of the bridge and then the investigation of the physical parameters, physical condition of the bridge. The third part, which is above the 146, I think was skipped around here a second ago, I mean, that's the design of the repairs and the reinforcements required. Then you'd have drawings with the detailed repairs, the cost estimate for repairs. Now, you have to keep in mind, the cost and magnitude of that third part can't be determined until you do the second part, because you do not know what you need to repair exactly, you know, under that engineering program. So, I mean, you can estimate it, but you can't reasonably conclude exactly what it's going to be. So that's the third part. It's over and above that. Now, the other thing, looking at that picture there, I mentioned it, but no one's picked up on it yet here today, at least. We're focusing on the piers and the concrete work. Well, that's one part of it. The initial study wasn't part of the mandate to look at the superstructure or the steel. However, I did receive a comment from the engineer that did that, and his comment was this. He was sitting there in a boat looking at the concrete pier, propped his head up, looked at the steel, and there's spots of it he could look right straight through it. So he said, that's going to need to be looked at as well. And there's a lot of steel in that. And the steel, going back to the 99 report and the 2002 report, it was noted as being corroded then. All right? And it's only gotten worse. And it's a 100-year-plus structure, steel being in the elements for a century. You know, of course it's corroded and the connections and so on. So it's, that's going to need work as well.
Councilor Inglis, thank you, Brad.
You know what? I forgot what I was going to ask you, Brad. let me grab it back. Sorry, I got captivated and listening to what you're talking about. Yes, now I remember. So the costing on this second phase, is this a tenderable thing that, you know, hopefully, or I'm assuming there are a limited number of firms with that specialization, are there?
We would need to discuss that. Budgetary-wise, we've got something. I think if we're going, we need to probably just look at that.
But one work builds upon the next work of that consultant, so it's not as easy to say as if you was buying trinkets,
right,
you go to tender it.
Yeah.
Professional services, you know, when you've had these engineers and these professionals looking at that, and they have the history, they know what, you know, has led to that. So it's not as easily answered as that right now.
There's one other piece of information that I should share with council is when you consider funding. Obviously, funding to tear it down would be a municipal cost. Where it is an active transportation asset, I don't know if there's potential funding for things if that ends up becoming viable. So if so there's so many questions on this decision support thing on that.
Councilwoman.
I would like to continue Councilor, the Deputy Mayor's comments on funding. The people in both means will not or do not want to support funding on a county-wide. I would support a local area rate, but not on a county-wide. There is some.
Councillor Frelick, I assume you're coming soon. So you put this on the agenda. I assume you've got a motion that's coming soon.
Yes. Well, I don't have a copy of the motions that are available, so I need a hard copy.
Yes, you do. Yeah, we're gonna have.
My question was, if this is concern and walking on it isn't a concern, then where do we stand on people going under it with the waterway? Is that not a concern? If people are going under this bridge, is that not as equally concerning as people walking across the bridge?
That's a very good question.
That's good. Closer
and
off.
That may expedite
We don't have mandate to close down a waterway.
That's right.
Okay. So there's your
But do we not have a liability?
Yeah.
If your guy is sitting in a boat and concerned about the steel that's disintegrating, is that not a concern for me going under in a canoe that has, you know, would that not be an issue for...
The difference there
is
we are not inviting public to go and travel on the waterway. We are inviting public to travel on the bridge structure. So there is a bit of difference there from an insurance point.
Yes, but it is a good question.
Yeah. Do we have a copy of that motion?
We've got to have a hard copy. That's our procedure.
No, I don't have one.
Thank you. Well,
they weren't handed out.
Was there to be a motion? I didn't realize it was. I thought you were arranging it. Yes, Clifton, ma'am?
Why don't we just allow time for him to get us a hard copy of this motion.
Yeah.
And move into the next item on the agenda. which is the placement of a memorial bench. So if you have a motion, Councillor, then when we come to the anniversary walk, the Pine Grove Connector, we'll take your motion before we move into 12-3.
In Richard's report.
To Richard. So I'll make a motion for 12-2.
12-2 is, yes please.
I so move the Council of the Region of Queens approve the request of the Nova Scotia Lighthouse Preservation Society and the family of Jalen Bennett to place a bench in her memory at Fort Medway Lighthouse Park, not sure what suffers there, and ask the mayor to send a letter to her family thanking them for this donation.
Seconded by Councillor Fisk, and you're quite right, that word Tupper should be taken out of there. Discussion on the motion.
Ms. Bennett was a resident of Halifax. She has a seasonal home in Lunenburg. She and two other champions, Margaret McCain and Myra Freeman, initiated This Lighthouse Matters campaign. I'm sure you all remember it from, I think it was in the summer, and raised $250,000 towards lighthouse preservation. Yes, and all 26 lighthouses that were entered into that competition benefited financially from their efforts. Unfortunately, Ms. Bennett incurred a fall and did not survive that fall back in her home in February, but she and her husband, Bill James, Joanne McCormick from the Lighthouse Preservation Society, and Ms. Bennett had visited Port Medway on different occasions, and they really liked the light, and they liked the landscaping that's done there. So they're asking that a memorial bench be placed there for her. And the benefit to the region, an additional benefit, is that the company that's actually making the bench places it. Typically that task falls on Donald and his crew to look at, so it's almost certainly a lovely gift and less labor intensive for us to place it there. So.
And what a wonderful thing for us to get ready to do our marketing thing on and our social media stuff on, and we can even start it today, to think that those two women that started that Lighthouse Matters and so chose that our light in Fort Medway was chosen of all the lighthouses in the province to place that memorial bench. I mean, that is a wonderful thing to state about our lighthouse in Fort Medway. That chosen, and maybe Honorable Myra Freeman could have a little say about it. And it, you know, we talk about news and happen to and bring news in. That's a great news story for us, that our bench was chosen, that lighthouse was chosen of all the lighthouses in the province.
That's assuming we say yes, because I'm sure that's where council will vote. Any idea when the bench will be installed?
I don't have that information, Mr. Mayor, but I could certainly find out for you. They're waiting, of course, on council's decision. And it's a granite bench, so I don't know what the fabric, I don't know what's involved, but I could certainly find out and let council know.
I was wondering if it happens before the snow flies, whether we could have a little more ceremony. Certainly I'll write a letter, obviously, saying thank you. If it's in the spring, we could also have, you know, a kickoff to the lighthouse season, and maybe we get Mrs. Freeman, Mrs. McCain, whatever. But are you ready for the question, or do you want more discussion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Are you ready with a motion to somebody to give a hard copy and make copies of, Councillor?
No.
Okay, then I suggest we move into the 12-3, and I just make a comment as we go into this. I'm not arguing with anything that's in here, but I think since this was written, I talked about turning it into an anniversary project, and I copied in all councillors, and I think got a favorable reaction, that in addition to doing the anniversary waltz, we would perhaps have extend into communities with a tree planting in all communities that meet the definition, and I don't know whether that's how you define a community. Do they have to have a war memorial? Do they have to have a community hall? Do they have to have one house? But somewhere, you know, we spread the anniversary, because it's the 20th anniversary of the Region of Queens next year, and so and it's the first voluntary amalgamation in the province. So it's been a success to Queens. We should celebrate it, and we can tie this project into it as well. So there we are, Brian. Do you want to? Richard, you give the report. There is a motion. Sorry, yeah, Brian. Yes, please. Sorry.
I so move that it is recommended the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the expenditure of $40,000 for the Pine Grove Maintenance Reserve to initiate the project to connect Pine Grove and the Trestle Trail.
And I see hands going up, so it's second. Can we have seconded and thirded by by Councillor Fancy and thirded by Councillor McLeod? Discussion.
And just a reminder that the Pine Grove Maintenance Reserve was monies, not taxpayers' money. Those were monies that were given to us by the province or the company?
By Renova, the
company. By the company. So, and it was monies given to the region by the company that can only be spent specifically at Pine Grove.
It was given to the region to support Pine Grove, but there was nothing in writing that limited how it could be spent.
But
the region has taken that and kept it in a separate fund.
For Pine Grove.
And it's for Pine Grove. Yeah. And it's now about $200,000 in that reserve. Councilor Fancy.
One other thing I just wanted to mention into this, because we're first thing we're going to this and going to something else. Were we going to talk here too about on the west side of the river on that the old railway bid?
We'll come to that in a minute.
Okay, that'll be separate. Okay.
Yeah. But in this part of the anniversary project, I've been talking to gardeners from the 103 up to Pine Grove. We go under 103 up to Pine Grove. They'll be interested in establishing a magnolia walk up that part of the river, and we could sort of work on that. Yes, Brian, I'm sorry.
The anniversary, for those who don't know, is the amalgamation.
Yes.
Which is 2016.
Yes. Councillor McLeod.
I noticed in the discussion that completion of the project is contingent on achieving approval for the easement and the required structure under the highway bridge and web, of course. But is there a cost to that easement as well, and that comes out of the $40,000? How does this work?
There wouldn't be a cost to the easement itself. However, what will happen there is we'll have to develop an agreement with the province for us to allow to use this to build a trail on. The cost will come in the, I guess, walkway structure that will safely allow people to travel underneath the underpass to the satisfaction of TIR, Farm Transportation Infrastructure. They'll be pretty stringent on that structure, and so that what the cost of that will be depend on what they approve, right? But that's a lot of that cost will be into that. The rest of it, you know, is basically just trail construction.
When I was mayor previously, we did obtain approval from TIR to do that.
Are you able to access that information to make it easier for?
Only if it's in the files here, I certainly don't keep.
Well, I had a discussion with TIR engineers here a number of months ago, and basically they said, "Well, you submit and we'll look at it." So they're, you know, they certainly wasn't going to commit on a phone call that they would allow that. So they're going to want to see drawings. They'll send it to their staff and send back comments. They may increase some of the construction techniques, hard to know, right? So it'll be a process that we'll have to follow. Right.
Councilor Waterman.
So people will be able to start like at the Irving and walk up right from there up through Pine Grove Park Circle or whatever and come back down. How far of a trail would that be now?
The connector
half kilometer 4.47.
That's what we're putting in.
That's the additional,
yeah,
that's right.
That gets you into.
Yeah.
But from the Irving, you're talking about, right?
From the Irving?
The whole. And then by the time you go through Pine Grove.
So there's two ways to connect this. Can I speak to this for a second? It's we'll call it the South End, which is next to the river. That connects the Trestle Trail through to the bottom end of Pine Grove. In addition, and that's about half a kilometer. And of course you're not going to build it like that. I mean, it has to be top, you know, it has to be interesting in how it's laid out, right? Because you don't want a straight trail, that's for sure. But it has to be built well enough that you can get vehicle traffic on it. Because how are you going to build it? You can't carry your gravel in on your back, right? So
I've done that, and it doesn't work.
That's
you
right.
need a tractor.
That's right. In addition to that, of course, is the north end of the trail, which is at the end of the sidewalk there on Milton Road. All right. So given that larger tract of land from the edge of the trail system now in Pine Grove to the highway, that now belongs to the region, there's lots of opportunity there is to creatively connect that with one or two trails that will increase, you know, the overall trail footage, and there's some interesting topography there. So I think it'll be a progress. I mean, we spoke to the $40,000 to initiate it and then complete it. Well, who says what completion will be? The $40,000 will get some trails started. Hopefully we'll get some work done on at least designing this structure to safely pass under the underpass, the bridge rather. So, you know, sort of the top end, lower end connection.
There's some really interesting rocks in there that you run a trail by. They have a. I saw you. My name is Mr. Cox. Laugh when I said, carried gravel in. We built the Pocket Wilderness in Licky Hill with hand bearers. So I wouldn't recommend that at all. Okay, more questions. Sorry, Councilor Fancy.
Yes, I know that the trails that they did a study in the of course, when they wanted to do the four-wheeling underneath, they had got permission from the TIR to go underneath. So it's definitely achievable, and I like the trail down one by the water because it really looks nice. It gives a good look.
More discussion, or are you ready for the motion?
Question
rather. All in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you. And he wanted to talk to, I'm giving Councillor Frelick a chance to make his motion if he wants. There was to be discussion on this side of the river. You're thinking of the old railway bridge and the walking trail there. So who's going to lead that discussion? Norm, Jack?
So you would like to bring forward completing the trail from the bridge up to here, or through there? Is that what you're talking about?
I think that, again, last year we've had a lot of discussions about a lot of things, like, for instance, this group that's coming through with the bicycle trail. They're going to be taking that one out through to the Kedgy. I'd love to be able to see that someday, being able to go out around White Point Way, but this is all just taken in chunks and pieces as we look at things. The old I use that track all the time, a bicycle.
Yep.
The old railway bed is in very good shape from the west side of the river in Milton to the White Point Road. There is one spot there where there's up on Lawrence Street, I think, where it comes up over the it's really just grown in. It just needs to be cut out, and there's two spots along the way where there's rocks just need to be moved back so you could be able to get through with the bicycle, with walking, but where it's not for motorized vehicles, so it should only be like a couple feet wide so you can be able to limit what can go through, but to make it as a trail and make it more presentable for the public to be able to use.
I think then what maybe council needs is a brief paper on the budget implications of fixing up that trail, as you've discussed, and we can bring it back to council for direction, whether that's a budget item or something we can take. If it doesn't fit with what we're going to look at right now,
And that crosses four roads.
Yes.
Which would mean probably crosswalks, which would mean sign each to be able to tell people that, you know, that this is a trail coming through. So there would be some budget applications to this.
It was brought to my attention when I was campaigning that there are some people down on the riverside, down on the Main Street end, that use that trail to come to work at the call center. And they wanted to cut out for that reason, so on. So yes, I don't think, as you say, there's a lot of work for some. Yes.
Just to add to Jack's point, that's an excellent walkway. It is. It's a great way to get to the call center. It also, my dogs and I often we do funny things. We drive to this little park, walk it twice, walk home, and then the not fat dog and I walk back out and get the car. This little park, as long as it's there, is a nice way to finish that walk. It takes you to a place, you walk by the Babbling Brook. And it really was a wonderful thing that was underutilized when the trestle was in use. You know, we sort of ignored this part of the of that trail, but as Jack says, very little work required. It's really an excellent change. Just a couple little things and pointing out to the public that it's there to use. And some cleanup. It's used as a dump site by some people.
Okay. Are you ready to make a motion, Councillor?
I believe. I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality request staff to receive an exploration of costs associated with repair and destruction of Trestle Trail.
The second of that motion. Councillor Fancy, the second. Councillor Norman.
So this motion, if passed, requests staff to proceed with exploration of costs. So staff could proceed by saying that they will examine and place the costs in next year's. I mean, we've got a lot, staff have a lot to do on their plate at this point in time. But this basically is saying that council wants you to proceed whenever. And so if it's, because we can't haul money out of the air, but this could go into next year's, like another one of those things that goes into next year's budget planning process.
I think we'll need to bring
because
back.
Because it's almost November.
Yeah, I think we'll need to bring back a report on options. Mm-hmm. That is probably one. Maybe the only, but I'm not 100% sure. There might be other paths.
Okay.
It, with an election on the 19th of October,
yeah,
and varying parties having varying positions on funding for infrastructure programs, it may put different water on the beans, but you know it's a 1 in 3 chance, isn't it? And two parties are not promoting that, one is. Okay, so we're talking still following your train of thought. You visualize the 160 some thousand going into next year's budget to.
Or whatever. I mean, it just says to proceed with exploration. So. Who knows what the numbers are going to be. It doesn't mean do it now. It means to figure out
Fancy. I think the motion reflects that we just want to start discussing this. We could have put a date in, but that's not necessary. What we want to do is just get it on the table and be able to discuss it. Because as the CAO has mentioned, there's so many questions that have gone unanswered, and we have so many. So if we need to amend that, then I'm fine with that. But really, we want to get some information so that we have some answers before we proceed.
It doesn't say discussion.
No.
I mean, we've had discussion since the report came in on whenever it was in February of last year or April of this year. I mean, there's been continuing discussion. So the exploration of costs, as I read it, and I stand to be corrected by someone more knowledgeable than me, is to go to that 160 and maybe even beyond that step to see if that's a good number, to determine what the costs are, and then also to look at repairing and destroying. That's quite a bit full to swallow, cost-wise, Brad, isn't it? Or am I misreading that?
No, you're not. Right.
Councilor Fancy.
Yes, it's a, but again, it's like Brad had said, I think it was 140 to 150 for that. That's for the initial study, but then the second study was going to, if I remember correctly, looking at that before, it's around 80. I mean, it was just, these are all just numbers, around 80,000, look at the structural makeup of the metal and things. But again, what we're really trying to do is compare one cost to the other cost. Is it worthwhile to try to, we're going to have to go somewhere. And that's the whole idea. Are we going to try to repair it? Or looking at the cost of repairing, which we can't know until we get those numbers, to demolition. If it's going to cost us $500,000, then it was going to cost you $100,000, which is not going to be, that's ridiculous to take it down. Well, then it may have been cheaper to go that way, but at least we have some numbers to make an educated decision on.
Don't hold me to these numbers, but I think that it's going to be, I'm going to understate numbers rather than overstate. Let's assume it's going to cost $200,000 to get the information which is associated with the repair and the destruction. So assume it's $200,000. And following the Deputy Mayor's logic, we put that in the budget for next year. That's 3 cents on the tax rate. Yes, sorry. Whoever's next, Susan and then Darlene.
Just a word in the recommendation that should read Trestle Bridge, not Trestle Trail.
Add bridge after trail, Trestle Trail Bridge. That's its official name.
Yeah. It's not the trail itself, it's a connector to the trail.
Yes, Darlene.
But one way or the other, it has to be done. I mean, we can put it off this year, and we can leave it for next year's council. I mean, next October, there'll be a new election. Who knows who's going to be here? We could leave it to them, right? We could put it off for a year and leave it up, and people could campaign on that issue or whatever. Or we could just make the decision and whatever. But it can't sit there with those big boards over it for another 5 or 10 years. So, you know, among ourselves, we're going to have to think about, are we going to be the ones that makes the decision to spend the money next budget time? Or are we going to let it go until the fall and get a new group in and let them make the decision? So somebody, sometime, the council owns that bridge, the region of Queens, every taxpayer owns it. What are we going to do with it? Spend the money on it, or just seal it up and let it sit there for 20, 30, you know. It's a lot of money.
Have we explored, when I throw out that question to staff, because I know that there was a group looking at it in town, and I'm not sure how thorough this there was. Have we explored funding opportunities on this?
I have, and I would describe them as extremely limited. The Recreation Facility Development Program of the province of Nova Scotia is basically on hold. Of the $1.2 million that's allocated provincially, a portion of that was dedicated towards trails and trail development. That whole project, which funded a lot of projects, that whole, in light of the provincial government's funding challenges, that's going to be very, very suspect. We don't run in the Trans-Canada Trail route, so that's not an option. The National Trails Coalition does have some funding available. I can't recall what the intake is. I think it's June or July. and federally, probably through ACOA, there's no major capital programs that I know that exist. However, money does flow from ACOA from time to time, depending on the project. So my gut tells me from doing this a while that we'd pretty much be on our own to a large degree to get this done.
Well, when I raise the question, it would seem to me to be a comparatively unique situation. I mean, other municipalities have either had the sense not to buy these bridges, or if they've bought them, they've been in better condition. But have we gone to the provincial government on a political basis? Have we gone to the feds on a political basis? Obviously not until after the 19th of October. I mean, those are the explorations that I think need to be done, and to see if there's support to spend the money on these studies. Because the studies seem to me to be huge, and the cost seems to be huge, and we don't know where they're going to end up and what we're going to do with it. And that's the kind of work I think needs to be done over the next, between now and year end, for example. And maybe even that's a little premature, given the fact that the government may change, and in which case you've got to get everybody shuffled into position again. And so that's the work that I would see going ahead, and it may not be done in time. You may not get a definitive answer in time for our next fiscal budget, but if it has to slip a year, you've got to keep exploring before you bite the bullet that we've got to spend this money ourselves, and the people of Queens better suck it up, because I mean there's no alternative. But I think we need to find that before we go and say that. So, and I don't see that quite in here, Brian.
Well, then what would be the right word to put there that would make that translate? Because when I say explore, it's exactly what you were just talking about.
That's right.
There are so many. I haven't said anything about money. I haven't said anything about cost. I'm looking at all the options. We've had options on the table from the time that it was announced. The only one that did any exploring was the public group that we put together, and what Norm came up with was a result of that. We as staff have not been, we're not able to do that because it was voted by council to not proceed. So that whole conversation needs to take place, and if there's a better way to put that in the in this motion, then certainly let's do it.
I'm thinking, give me a second.
It's fine. I think it's fine, Marie.
Do you think it's fine?
Exploration leaves it wide open. It just
don't hang me on this, that the Council of the Region of Queens continue to investigate assistance from other funding sources for studies associated with the repair / destruction of the Trestle Crail Bridge.
But that eliminates all the other conversation that we're able to have about other options. If you're just looking, if you've instructed just for funding, which is an important part, then we're not looking at other options about a new bridge, or is there another solution? Is there, with people?
I've assumed that there are only two solutions based on what Richard has said, which is fix or destroy. When I say fix, it may be that you I got lost in the Deputy Mayor's flights of fancy with swing bridges underneath and whatever else he was doing. But I consider that if it ever became engineeringly feasible, I would consider that fix. But I mean, it's...
I think the motion as presented is fine because it says exploration, and exploration allows staff to explore with the funding. You're, Mr. Mayor, no offense, but your motion just restricts staff to work with to see if there's any funding available.
It doesn't restrict staff. It doesn't mention staff.
Well, and see, and that's where the point comes from.
And the reason it didn't was because I see if it's a political move that council itself will have to be involved.
Well, okay, but still, it's we own this, and I think what Councillor Frelick has been trying to say all morning is that once that motion was made, this region of Queens just stepped back and didn't do anything with the trestle and put it upon a group of community people. And that bridge belongs to this region, and it shouldn't be up to a group of community people to figure out an asset that's like that. That's a huge problem. We can't deal with it, so we stick it on a bunch of community people to fix. I think we need to take ownership of the project and figure out what on earth is going to be done with it.
So that's sticking it. The community group volunteered to come forward. The region did not stick it on them.
Well,
that's what came out of it. Was a...
But
who is next? Councillor Frelick.
The one thing that we're forgetting is that, you know, this is the region of Queens property, and as Darlene said, it is ours. And I hear lots of grumbling from North Queens, but it is part of our infrastructure. And when we're looking at, you know, we had a group present this morning, and we're talking about making our town a better town and a healthier town. It is part of all that. It's what we are able to offer. And if we're out there looking for people to move to our community, whether it's South Queens or North Queens, that plays an important role. No less than the fire department does at North Queens, it's all part of our infrastructure. So it's not really us and them paying, it's all of us collectively as a group that's making things better for a community. So I have a problem with that when it's not about a United Queens, because that's what we're striving for.
You have a motion. What do you want to do with the motion? Do you want to...
Thank you. I didn't speak on this. I voted against the motion to table this back in April because of the reasons that Darlene largely touched on them and Brian and others. It is our asset. We need to go one way or the other with it. I have absolutely no idea what way that is. And unfortunately, we don't have... You know, we can wish for these easy ways to figure that out. There isn't an easy way to figure it out. So I'm going to support the motion as is. I certainly hope that we're going to examine the political will of other bodies to help us, first off, with the expense that we're going to undertake here, and secondly, with the second expense we're going to undertake, which is either going to be to fix this bridge or to rip it down, no matter what. There's a big plate full of costs coming our way, and our staff always does an excellent job on determining funding programs that are available, but politically it needs to get up the chain and find out where the money is. So I'll support the motion and hope that all these balls get in motion. And I understand the public has a real desire to see this resolved immediately. We can't resolve it immediately, but I think they'll show some understanding if they see that we're taking the steps towards the ultimate resolution, which, again, we can't promise is going to be a favorable one. That's certainly the hope, I'm sure, of everybody in this room.
Councilor Waterman.
I was going to support the motion, but I don't know if I will now after what Brian can say. I don't mind going ahead, and see what the costs are, but I can't see going to spend $160,000, and the motion is quite open, so. But someday I will support the motion, but I mean, when you bring up north and south, I mean, and then you talk about fire department locally in the areas supported them by $600,000 from the people. So, I mean, we're used to doing like area rates and things for some projects, and that's it's hard to really financially support when you don't use anything. Like, you know, it's, you can only buy your vehicle to walk the bridge. But as the motion stands, I will cross.
Okay, we've been on for quite a while. Does somebody have a new point to raise that will shed different light on it than we've already had? And if you have, fine. If not, I'm going to take a question.
Question.
Okay. Just one quick question here. First of all we're doing really now is giving the staff an opportunity to go forward and examine, because you're not going to do anything, you're coming back to us.
Correct.
So it's not a, we haven't committed to anything, really.
All right, Mr. Council.
Yep. Question.
All in favor? Contrary-minded? It's carried by a vote of 7-1. That brings us to
planning.
13-1. Susan, in the motion, please.
I had that here once. 13-1. Mike is going to give an explanation of the status of the Milton Bridge, Mike.
Yeah, I guess my already brief update has been made briefer, I guess, by earlier discussions on the, I guess, the Milton Bridge project. I guess, as our Director of Engineering has indicated, we're still continuing negotiations with the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal regarding our infrastructure on some of our municipally owned lands within that area. I guess the transportation of the province has made some progress with removal of several of the buildings. So actually all the buildings now, as of yesterday, all the buildings on that corner have been removed. The province is in the process of expropriating those lands which belong to the region of Queens Municipality, just given the, I guess, the murky or somewhat murky nature of the title of some of those parcels of land. So the expropriation process is still underway in that regard. So I assume that will be rectified here in the
I'm very embarrassing to say in front of the media we have some murky titles.
Going back years ago.
Is that the reason why they're expropriating? Does that then clean up? I mean,
because
we just sign that stuff off. But
originally,
so are they expropriating because then that frees us up from whatever questions might be on those titles? Is that
the expropriation process will clear the title to those lands, so it's they'll be getting free and clear of any.
Because usually expropriation means one party doesn't want the other one to have.
Yeah, that's not all always the case. So it's just a cleaner process from the province's perspective too.
Okay.
Any questions on the Milton Bridge? Are we done on that one?
Yes. I see they got the two, I'll call them abutments out there, those big orange things, I guess, and I see they dug where they're going to dug. They must have left a little bit of land between the water and the abutment to give a land so they don't go right up to the water. So I guess they're going to be putting those in right away. Is that what you're hearing or anything?
I guess I haven't heard. I guess this Brad has any more.
Not the only one I spoke of this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's a...
Just one question, sorry. That's the park where the bridge is going through.
Mm.
Is that going to be relocated, or just what's the remnants of that? Is it going to be on the other side now? Or
well, it is a park still there. because it's got a name to it over there on the other side. I forget what the name
Where you put the Christmas tree.
But you're talking about the fish ladder, Brian?
Fish ladder,
counselor?
Yeah.
That kind of area.
I guess on the west side of the river, if you look at the map under 13-1, the land that they are utilizing on the west side of the river, they're not actually taking that whole parcel of land. They're just taking the portion that essentially abuts Bridge Street, the corner of that. So there still will be half or more of that land that will be retained by the municipality.
So on the other side where the bridge currently goes, will that be turned into a park that will connect in with Tucker Park, or has there been any talk about
it? Well, it is a park. Well, I mean, on the...
But the roadway right now for the bridge.
The reclamation of the existing roadway.
Oh, the existing, yeah.
I guess I really haven't had the discussions with that. I assume it's still, that's what's there as part of the roadway is provincial crown land. What they plan to do with that, I'm assuming they will green the area, but...
Can we find out about that? Because if that's going to be reclaimed and they're going to take that pavement up, maybe we should reclaim it and add it to our Tupper Park piece rather than them leave a piece of pavement, you know, they're just going to dig it up. If I see what they've done in Port Jolly with the roadway, they'll dig it up and just make it gravel, but we really, it'll be a good thing for us to own to add to the Tupper Park piece, to
let
grow out our Tupper Park.
If you grow breath, Donnie, okay.
Before
okay.
We go into that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's not urgent because they're not going to remove the bridge till next year. Brad told us earlier, so... Let's not bog this meeting down. We seem to be bogged down already with details. Okay, I'm moving into 13.2.
We have an application by Liverpool Wind Energy Storage Project, Inc., and I'll read the recommendation. That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to enter into a development agreement with Liverpool Wind Energy Storage Project, Inc., to allow for the construction of two wind turbine generators on property identified as PID number 7016918 and located in the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone, and that a public hearing be scheduled for November the 10th, 2015 in the council chambers of the Municipal Administration Building located at 249 White Point Road, Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:55 a.m.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Furlock. Discussion?
Mike, it's pretty straightforward, right. An application by the...
That's correct, Councillor McLeod. I guess as under our municipal planning strategy, large-scale wind turbine generators, and that's essentially anything over 100 kilowatt, is required to go through a development agreement process. What is being proposed here is two 2.3 megawatt wind turbine generators located between Nickerson's Pond and Herring Cove Lake. This is a project that I think, or part of a project I think we're all fairly well aware of with regard to the wind energy storage technology project that Lightsail is undertaking at the Port Mercy Industrial Park. The proposed location, it's on Crown land. The environmental assessment that was required as part of the applicant's proposal indicates that the turbines are approximately 2.5 or a little less than 2.5 kilometers from the nearest dwelling. They're a fairly remote location. However, they'll be visible given the size of the turbine generators that are being put up. But the location certainly reduces that visual impact. So it would certainly be part of the development agreement process that we look at. The sound levels, they've part of the environmental assessment, the receptors and testings that they've done shows that there'll be nothing, no more than 40 decibel sound level at the closest dwelling, so which is with this, I guess, within the industry standards. So I think it's really a part of a good news project for our area with the green energy that they will bring. So I think it's a process I think we should welcome within our area. So,
Council Waterman.
So the power will be piped down to the Mercy.
Port Mercy.
Site.
That's correct.
Port Mercy, and then hooked onto the grid from there. Yeah. And that's where you get compressed tanks, storage tanks.
That's right.
So you had an explanation from Stan Mason within the last month or so. Yes.
This brings the project closer to completion.
I can't hear you, sorry.
This brings the project closer to their intention to complete it.
Yeah.
Thinking back to when we had Janet, was it McMillan in, that talked to us about the importance of getting stuff out all the time? You know, and when you look in the project overview from the company, we will have the first grid interconnected energy storage system in Nova Scotia. The first grid, you know, and we're supposed, I think it's been working out there with that marketing person, but you know, we need to jump on everything we have that's new and whatever. And here today, we're moving forward, and you know, we're moving forward with the first grid interconnected energy storage system in Nova Scotia. That's a great
and it may be even wider than that. I mean,
that's
it's
right.
huge.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
We need
yes.
to every time.
Yeah.
We need to put that out today and put it out.
No, that's a good point, Councilor. Okay.
Thank you, Darlene, for that, because it was a topic of discussion at planning as well, that this is a continuation of Daniel Fong and Light Sail,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we did some press releases on that.
And
that's a big deal for Queens, but this is equally as important that we're moving ahead, and they wanted us to bring that back to council and let them know that, yeah, we should be out there every moment talking about things like this, because it's huge for Queens County.
National.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for bringing that up.
Any further discussion, or may I take a question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.